Lord, we thank you for liberating us. By your voice, by your spirit, by your people, we are liberated, and in the fellowship with the Son of God, we praise you. Thank you for your Son who humbled himself and was obedient unto death, that we might live in life. And then, Lord, we see people trapped. Some are trapped by other people. They're trapped by their habits, devices, by manipulations from others. They're trapped in fear and troubled life. Help us understand what's happening in this world, Lord, and use us as ministers of life, ministers of Christ, body members, believers, to share, to love, pray, and see changes in the people we know, because they're on very unstable ground, maybe no ground at all, sand, maybe because they are lost and it's getting worse and worse. They are trapped. We pray you would bless our hearts and minds tonight in this message. Amen. Before I start, I want to say Roloff and Carla Fokins have been with us many years. How many know Carla and Roloff from the Netherlands? And they've been running the food bank and have fed thousands of people, including myself. How about you? Raise your hand if you had the benefit of, okay. They are moving back to the Netherlands in a couple of weeks, and we want to say goodbye, but it's not a permanent goodbye. We are in the family. We care about them and their future. We will continue to keep them in our prayers. They'll be serving God in their home country, and we're just thankful for them. We had in our staff meeting a few words with them, and we just love them and are very thankful. Amen. Look around and see somebody that we never talk about, we never mention their name, and just look at them and then shout out their name. Okay, thank you. Turn with me to our text, is 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3 is regarding actually the end times, the ultimate transformation of heaven and earth, which we really are looking forward to. Sunday we preached on the millennium and the coming kingdom, and tonight I want to just speak from my heart about people that increase in God and grow in God. This is point number one. Do people grow in God? Do we increase in godliness? Do we have an increase in understanding? Do we change in this life? Is there peace like a river? I used to live in Budapest, and there's a river that cuts through the city. It's called the Danube. World War II, the Nazis and the Russians were fighting in the city. All the bridges were destroyed, but the river just kept going. Bombs. In my landlady's backyard, they found three undetonated Russian bombs from World War II. Oh, Oh, yeah, life is interesting. Oh, yeah, come on. All right, so there's war, but then there's peace like a river, and the river just doesn't change in that sense by the war. It is simply stable, and there is peace like a river. Psalm 46, there is a river that makes glad the city of God. That's what's happened in your life. If you are a follower of Christ, then God has promised you peace, that this Spirit of God, that God, when he was resurrected, he came and he was saying peace, and peace to the disciples that were hiding, and he is the Prince of Peace. And I hope you have that in your heart, in your life. It's God's will that you would have that, and that would be the voice of God speaking to you, not to condemn you, but to love you, to give grace to you, to comfort you, to teach you, and there would be an increase in your heart, in your life, in righteousness. So that's the first point. Is that happening? Romans chapter 5 speaks about it and says that we are not ashamed. Even when our world collapses, we don't. We are not ashamed. Even when we face challenges and troubles, we struggle. Yes, we do. We hurt. Yes, we have pain. But there is a day coming when we'll be in a world and not have what we have in this world. In that world, get tired. This world, we get tired. That world, we will not be confused. This world, we get confused. In that world, there won't be any sorrow or tears in this one we have. In that one, there will not be unbelief. We will see him face to face. In this one, we have faith. So enjoy the ride. This is a privilege that we get to live in this world with God. Here's a little lesson for Justin, my son over here, when he was 15 years old. We lived together in Budapest, and this is a little lesson I taught him. He mentioned it to me, that he was going to go home in June, and he'd been living in Hungary, maybe around January or so. He goes, he's excited about going home. Any teenager would. I'm going to go home. I'm excited about going home. And I told him, I go, yes, you can be excited what will be happening in June, but learn to live in the present. Learn to live in the present. Why? Because God is in the present. What does that mean? God is here. That's the point. God is here. God is present. Yeah, but I'll be able to eat at the Pizza Hut. I get on my bicycle. Yeah, I can play golf. Okay. Yes, that day may be coming. That may be coming. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. And I'm not raining on your party. I'm just saying it's very easy for people to live in the future and miss the present. It says about Jacob when he fell asleep and he woke up, he said, God is here and I didn't know it. God is here. This is the blessing. So watch. Why can't I look forward? You can, but in a guarded way, because there is such a thing as a disappointment. Disappointment is an appointment that is dissed. A thing you expect doesn't happen. Or when it happens, it's not what you thought it was. Or how many of these variations where there is heartache in people and emptiness because they thought it would be better later. The best way to live is to walk with God now and by faith trust him and the Spirit lead you, then what happens is your character develops because you're trusting God in the present. You're saying, I'm not looking at the future as much as I want to look by faith in what God is saying. I want to measure my life by what he is saying. Isn't it good? This is how you increase. Where do we get this? In the Garden of Eden, it says Adam and Eve were in the garden, and the voice of God walked in the garden. What made the Garden of Eden the Garden of Eden? Was it the luscious plants, the beautiful gardens and walkways, or what made the Garden of Eden the Garden of Eden? It was the voice of God that makes life what it is. It's the voice of God that makes the Garden of Eden the Garden of Eden. That is what has happened in your life. When you heard the gospel and you believed and the Spirit taught you and you started to walk by faith in a God you cannot see and you don't know what will happen in the future, but we do know a lot about that, but actually we learn to live in the present. For God is the God who, what did Moses say? What is your name? And what did God say? Moses said, what is your name? And God said, I am. This is the present. I am that I am. So Justin had a good spring. He did get on the plane. He did come home. I'm sure it was great. But young people, all of us need to learn that the best way is to know I have those desires, and that's something in my heart. I like that. I want to do that, but I can also step back and I can say, your will be done. Your will be done. They said the difference between heaven and hell is that hell is people that is filled with people that have said, my will be done, and heaven is filled with people who said, your will be done. In the Garden of Gethsemane. This is growth. Now, I'm going to stop at that point and just say tonight in the closing part of point one that simply I want you to believe that you can grow and that God will speak and that he will liberate, he will encourage, and he will counsel you. He will counsel you. He will teach you. And you will change from glory to glory, 2 Corinthians 3:18. That's a beautiful thing. But that's not my primary message. It's point number two is. And so turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want you to see a... Sorry, I'm moving around a little bit. I got to change that. Proverbs 11. I don't want to go there without you reading Proverbs 11 and verse 21. Proverbs 11, 21. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. All right, so maybe I could ask Avery, do you come up for a minute? Avery and I, this is an illustration. Avery and I, we're friends, we can join hands, and we are in agreement that we have other hands, we join hands. What's the meaning of joining hands? But agreeing. We agree. But in the proverb, it says, we are wicked. We are wicked, but we're joining hands. You have a group of wicked people joining hands. That's the proverb. That's the meaning of the proverb. Though we are in agreement and multiply us by thousands and maybe millions, and we're in agreement, we're solid, we're joining hands still, and we are wicked, but God sees it and he says it will not go unpunished. But I want you to go read the verse with me, please, 11:21. Though hand joined in hand, what is the meaning of joining hands from a psychological point of view? It's like I got somebody who agrees with me, but not just one. I have a million people that agree with me, and we're joining hands. And so I'm like embolstered in it. I'm encouraged in it. I got it. You see what I mean? I'm strong. We all agree. We all are in power. Maybe even there's a lot of money involved. We have a lot of influence. We have a lot of money, and we're joining hands. That is called a conspiracy of evil. It's not uncommon. It's very common in life, in history. Groups of people. I remember reading about John Wilkes Booth, who was from Bel Air, Maryland, and he took a year off of acting just to meet at Mary Surratt's house down in southern Maryland to conspire. It took 1 year of conspiring and planning and getting the small group together to assassinate Lincoln, Andrew Johnson, and Seward. There are three, Secretary of State, Vice President, and President. Three men were to be assassinated on the same night. They planned it. It was a conspiracy. They held hands. They were wicked. They had evil in their hearts. They had murder in their hearts, revenge, etc. Really happens. The Nazis in Germany, many times, groups, they are holding hands. Social movements, holding hands. But God looks at the heart. And the heart with God, there's an increase with God. Then there are a lot of people that don't know what is going on. And then there is the evil that is connected with each other, and they are active in what they're doing. And we saw that happen with Jesus Christ on the day of his trial and crucifixion. So look at verse 21. Though hand joined in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Even when they have huge numbers, they still will not get away with it, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The only reason why Christ wasn't delivered was because it wasn't God's will. He was to take away the sins of the world. Only reason. Christ would be delivered because he was a righteous man, but the righteous man and the plan of God was to pay the price so that we would be saved. He would be killed, and then he would be our Savior. Now read 2 Peter with me, please. And verse 17, 2 Peter 3:17. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, and he talked about the passing away of the heaven and the earth by the heat, the dissolving of the elements, the epistle about the falling away of the church in the end times, 2 Peter 2, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, the church falling away from apostolic teaching, from understanding the doctrines of our faith, the reality of Christ, falling away from objective truth and establishing their own world of reality, their perception of it, and they are very much in error. And we'll see that in a minute, but go to verse 17. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, and this is how I feel. It's a critical time and our knowledge of the Bible is paying off. Our meetings that we have together, we are benefiting. We are increasing in the Lord. This isn't a thing of pride. I mean, that's not why I'm saying it. It's not like we are any different than anybody. But it is that God leads us so that we can hear his voice and live with a new heart and something else in our hearts than what the unsaved man has in his heart. The unsaved man, in many ways, they are trapped. And they might get a group of people with them, and from their heart, it goes like this. It goes from the heart to the mouth. Okay? Heart to mouth to action. There's a sequence. A conspiracy, they're not holding hands. They're just in their hearts. They have some wicked, evil thought in their heart, but they don't say it. But then it becomes, it's in my heart. We're going to kill Abraham Lincoln. We could use that as an example. We're going to kill Abraham Lincoln. I met this man, and we're in agreement. He understands it. He is angry about it. And it's in my heart. Now it's in my mouth, and it's in his mouth. And now we meet. When we meet, in essence, we are planning action. So it goes heart, mouth, action, and we start to actually plan to execute what is in our hearts. This is a simple little lesson on what's happening today in our world, that people have things in their hearts, and they're talking, and they're meeting each other, and they're holding hands, and it's happening. There's a movement of ungodliness in our society, and it's bolstered by the holding hands principle. Evil finding evil. And this is called conspiratorial evil. The Greek word is poneros. But when it's just in my heart, I have kakos, I have evil in my heart, but I haven't yet said it. Or I have it in my heart, I might say it a little bit. But when I conspire and I am really working with it to reinforce what it is that we're doing, like happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was righteous. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah went to his door and said, "Where are the men that have come in to see you? We want those men that we will know them." It's a sexual suggestion. We want those men. And Lot said, "No, you cannot do that. Hospitality doesn't allow that. Not in my house. That cannot happen. No, I will give you my daughters," which is, that's another message, isn't it? That's incredible. "I give you my daughters." Wow. Like, thanks a lot, Dad, thanks a lot. Okay. So, he said no, and then they push on the door. The angels make them blind, and then they keep at it, pushing at the door. I'm saying, Avery, come on over. Oh, look at, he's good. Oh, he knows what he's doing. You see, we are like feeding on this. This is a mentality and embracing it, and we're pushing on the door. And no matter what, in this case, with the Sodom and Gomorrah, it's like we're not stopping. We're pushing. Thanks a lot. Now listen, thanks a lot. Go away. No, go over there. All right. So what do we see happening in history? We see the devil in heaven doing very much like this with the angels. And he went through heaven with his message. And he was affected. And in principle, they held hands. Those angels that agreed with him, they were cast out. There was a third of them. And that's a lot. They're cast out of heaven. when they come here, where do they go? To the garden. Why? Because God has done something in the garden, and the devil is an enemy of God. And the devil goes into the garden where Adam and Eve are. And what does he do? The same lie. The same lie goes to them, and we have fallen, and we live in this. But here's a beautiful thing. Even though we have fallen and we're under a curse, and every one of us, in principle, every one of us, we could go to hell, for we are spirit, and we will live somewhere. We'll live somewhere forever, because we are not just flesh, we are spirit. And hell was made for the devil and his angels, and unfortunately, people also, but God is a fair God, wise God, righteous God. He does everything perfectly, and he's speaking to the human race every day. And many times when we find ourselves in trouble, I want to say there are people that are caught holding hands, and they're trapped. They're trapped there. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to get out of it. They're trapped. I was riding in my car yesterday, listening to a radio station, and this woman, just a talk show host, and with a gentle voice and very compassionate in her persona, not a Christian program, but soft music, relaxation music, and then she is like putting in a little counseling, and this man had said, I'm in love with this woman, and I can't get her out of my mind. And she's living with another guy, and it breaks my heart. But I know that she doesn't really love the other guy, but she really loves me, and I love her. And years pass by. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, the man is in so much trouble in his soul. What a horrible life to live. What a horrible life, trapped. Trapped with my loss, trapped with my desire, trapped with the lies, trapped with, you know, I won't have any life without this woman. You know, this woman is like, are you kidding me? Your life is measured by a woman. Your life is measured by a job. My life is measured by a flight home from Budapest. Your life is measured by a dog or a cat. Your life is measured by a house, or your life is measured by a relationship with people. Cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Isaiah 2:22. No, the voice of God, that's how you live, and that's how you increase. And there's something else that happens, because God is the God that sets you free. God is the God that loves you. You might say, Pastor Shelley, you're way too spiritual. I don't even have any. Don't you know that God loves the woman? Now, that's all God. I understand it. I'm a human being too. But the only answer, honestly, the real answer is God. What about the filling of the Spirit? What about the Word of Life? What about the cross? What about taking up the cross? Why don't I bring my life to the cross and find God? Isn't God the Savior? Isn't God the one that releases us from ourselves and our confusion? And doesn't God give us another kind of unity? All right, wait a minute. I want to finish. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. We didn't even finish that one, did we? 3:17. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Led away with the error of the wicked. Led away with the error of the wicked. The wicked, and they're holding hands, and there's a movement, and there's the error there. Can you see the error? Do you see the error? But I could fall into the error. I could grow into the error. Oh, I can understand the error. I can relate to the error. I can talk. The error is in my heart, too. I'm led away by the error of the wicked. The error of the wicked. I'm led away. What a Christian. I'm led away with the error of the wicked, and I fall from my own steadfastness. So, verse 18, but grow. That's what we said was point number one. But grow. Really, grow. What? How would I think we're growing. I believe that. I think we are growing. I think when we meet and the Lord visits us and we enjoy it, our hands, in a way, our hands are joining with hands, but actually it's a little different. It's our hearts are one with Christ and our hearts, and then it goes to our hearts, go to our mouth, and then our action, and then we look around, we see each other kind of with the same heart and the same mouth and the same action, and we're on the same team. And God is speaking to the church by the Spirit, and he's saying things to us that resonate in our heart. And when we hear it from our Bible, and we go, oh yeah, that's, I was thinking the same thing the other day. What is said in the Bible is really in our hearts, and now in our mouths, and then in our action, and we're increasing with the increase of God, growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in this verse 18. But grow in grace and knowledge. It's really in my heart these days. I am amazed at our church. I am. I am so blessed by the unity. I am so blessed by, we don't have any agenda except the voice, Lord, lead us so we can be free from the foolishness that is in the world that seems to be increasing and moving, and there's like a evil that is happening, and yet God is saying, but you are not falling into their error and from your own steadfastness, but you are growing in the grace. Important word. God's constant grace toward us. Common grace, logistical grace, saving grace, dying grace, growing grace. Have you felt the grace? Have you praised God just kind of automatically while you're driving your car? Praise you, Lord, thank you. Have you wept? Maybe you've wept. You're heartbroken by something that you're heartbroken by life somehow. You're heartbroken, and the Lord is there with you. You may not realize it, but he's like teaching you, and he wants you to live by faith and trust him. I know it's hard, but trust him. He is there. Amen. He is with you. He's the only one that really cares. How could two birds fall out of a tree without God knowing? Doesn't he number the hairs on our head? Doesn't he know the footsteps that we take in Psalm 139 and Matthew 12? Yes, he does. So verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What kind of knowledge? Knowledge that works in life. Knowledge that, you know, that like to counsel this man, and the woman on the radio told the man, you know, you're chasing a dead, you know, that thing's over. You gotta go for a walk. These are my words. You gotta shake it off. You gotta get out of it. It's in your head. Get out of there. You know what? It was like, and I'm like thinking I was thinking, really? It's true. People are trapped. They are trapped by themselves. They're trapped. They don't have any way. So closing part, Jesus came and he bound the strong man. The same devil that was in heaven that brought the angels a third that deceived Adam and Eve that is in this world now. 2 Thessalonians 2, I don't have time to go over it. I think that'll happen maybe on Sunday, but I want to teach you about what is happening in the world today with 2 Thessalonians 2. The mystery of iniquity does already work. And there's delusion that God turns these people over that are holding hands, that are so pumped up about what they're believing, what they're talking about, and how they're acting it out, that he sends them strong delusion, and they suffer. They suffer. They lie down in sorrow. It's Isaiah 50, verse 11. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. God did it. God is dealing with people. And why the suffering? Because he's lost them. And sometimes it's the suffering that brings you to God. And when people get hurt, it's like, why don't you go down to greater grace and hear a message? Or, all right, why don't you just be quiet and trust God and pray to God? He's your loving Father. You must be born again. Jesus bound the strong man. He's like tied him up, wrapped him like in duct tape, and Satan is bound. In practice, that means that Jesus has given us the authority to go into the house and take the captives. We have authority. We're able to go and invade that territory. And by the way, if you're a war person, a military person, the battlefield, there's somebody who's never left the battlefield. The battle's been raging. He's not, you think of a soldier, he's on the field, and he's weeks on the field, or months on the field, or even years on the field. There is one who's never left the field, and that's Jesus Christ. He's with us. He's in the field, and he's saying, we are fighting a good warfare. We are on a mission. We have a message. We want to take children and lead them to Christ and teach them with love. We don't take them, but we are ministering. We are going to the ghetto, the trailer park. It's not a ghetto, it's a beautiful place, but we go to the nursing home. We go to the beltway. We go to residential areas. We go to the parking lots. We're just available. We're praying. We're thinking, is there somebody in trouble? We're on the radio. Is there somebody in trouble? Do you know that we are in Cambodia? And we are in China, and we are in India and Nepal. And you know, we are in Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan and Azerbaijan and Turkmenistan. Do you know that there are Greater Grace people that are there that have been taken out of that house and set free? And there's an increase that is given to us that are hearing and walking in a spirit-filled way and obeying. And as we believe, God is giving an increase to us. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to him be glory both now and forever. I am very much touched by this thought tonight. And I just want to say it this way to finish. I'm sad about it. I'm sad about it. I'm sad that there are believers that slide into this whole message that is evil, that is wrong, is from wicked hearts. I don't trust it. I don't care how smooth it is, how handsome it is, how good looking it is, how smart it is, how big tech it is. I don't care how strong it is. I don't know how many people are in it. I don't know how many people, what they believe. I do not care. I know it is evil. It is wicked. It is ungodly. It's not from God. It does not end well, and that's happening. But I'm also caring much about people that don't know anything. They're trapped. And I love it that you and I want to live on a rock higher than us with a mission that's bigger than us. This is a lot to digest, but you can do it, and we can grow in it and think about it. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, maybe somebody here you touched in your heart regarding this subject. And you could say, Lord, you could say to these people what we said tonight, what you have said to our hearts, and then say, come to me. It's simple. I love you. I didn't make you to go to hell. I didn't make you to be deceived. I didn't make you to be blind or selfish or consumed with your problems. I made you to be like me. I want you to know that. So come to me. Trust me. I save you. I forgive you. You in Jesus' name, please say a prayer like that from your heart. And God does that work. And then keep walking by faith in him. Turn from your own ways. I know it's hard, but do it. Do it. Try turning your way. It's kind of, amen. Let me just finish by telling this. I've said it before. My wife and I, we go to the drugstore. It's at night. The lights are out and everything. We pull in the parking lot. The drugstore's closed. She said, go ahead, go on in and get what we need. I go, it's closed. She goes, no, it isn't. It isn't closed. Yes, it is. It's closed. Now, behave. Now, get out there. So I go out there, and I'm walking, you know, and the doors are closed, everything. And then the electric eye catches me, and then the door opens up. And then I can feel her eyes on the back of my head. And I'm like, okay, you know. I turn around. It's open. It's open. Yeah, it's okay. I got it. It's open. Okay, what's the point? I'm telling you. I don't know who you are. I don't know about your future. But I'm telling you. It's open. I'm telling you, it's open. Go. Go to Christ. Door is open. Go to him. And trust him. Amen.